Hey everyone, this is Elizabeth, and you're listening to Tea on History, a podcast about the fascinating and usually scandalous lives of the people you've forgotten about or never even learned about in history class. Hey guys, welcome to the first episode. So today we're going to be talking about Elizabeth Woodville. She's one of my absolute favorite historical figures. She's probably in my top three. If you don't know who she is, then you've come to the right spot. Now, as I was doing my research for her, which I already knew a lot about her, but of course I still wanted to do, you know, an outline, get some extra fun facts, I was realizing she's a bit of a feat to do for a first episode. She had a very dramatic, complicated, and of course, scandalous life. I have to give you guys some setting of the time period and what was going on, most notably the Wars of Roses. It is basically a set of civil wars that took place in England, and you could pretty much have an entire episode on the Wars of Roses, but I don't want to get too muddled down in the details of it all because we don't really need to learn about Elizabeth Woodville. And Elizabeth Woodville is kind of at the center of the Wars of Roses, but she's more towards the end of them. And so I'm going to give you guys a very, very quick crash course on the Wars of Roses, just so you understand the idea of what was going on and who the main players, or rather families, were in the Wars of Roses. Throughout this story, a lot of the men especially are going to be named the same exact names. We're going to have a lot of Edwards, a lot of Henrys, and a lot of Richards, but we will make sure to differentiate so you understand who is who and how they're related, to the best of my ability. However, to give you guys an idea of just how complicated the Wars of Roses were, Game of Thrones is very loosely based on the Wars of Roses. And if you've watched Game of Thrones, or tried to even explain it to someone, you know how complicated it can get. The most basic premise that I can give you of the Wars of Roses is that it was fought between two families, the Lancasters and the Yorks, aka the Red Roses and the White Roses. The thing to know about the Lancasters and the Yorks is that they're related to each other. So these are two families that are family to each other fighting for the throne, which makes sense because you would have to have a bloodline to the throne to try and claim it. However, this started way before Elizabeth Woodville's time, and another name for the Wars of Roses is actually the Cousins' War, because these people were related. And they date back to the same ancestor. He had two sons. One was the founder of the Yorks, the other was the founder of the Lancasters. And basically, very long story short, there was a king named Richard II. Henry Bolingbroke came and was like, "You suck at being king, I'm taking the throne." If you've ever read Shakespeare's Richard II, this is the story that he tells. And so Henry becomes king, there is another Henry that's king after him, and another Henry that's king after him. That last Henry also sucked at being king, and we have a new player that's from the House of York named Edward. He comes in and he says, "You know what? I'm taking back the throne for House of York," and he becomes king. And so we had three Henrys in a row that were all Lancasters, and now Edward from House York has come back and reclaimed the throne for the Yorks. And this is where Elizabeth Woodville's story begins, or at least where we're starting it. She was actually already married before she married the king. Now, before you start getting a bad idea about, you know, what she was doing, she was a widow, and her first husband had actually fought for the Lancasters and died in battle for them. So she was widowed and she was on the opposite side. She was Team Lancaster. Basically what happens is she's widowed, she goes to her dead husband's family and they're like, "Nah, we're not giving you the money or the land that's owed to you. Go back and live with your parents." And she has to go back to live with her parents and bring her two sons with her. So she already had children. She was widowed with two kids, both sons, named Richard and Thomas Grey. She went back and lived with her parents, and this was just not what she wanted. And, you know, anybody who's ever had to go back and live with their parents can understand and relate to how much that's just not the ideal situation, especially if you're a widow and you have two children. So Elizabeth Woodville was not about this life, and she was like, "I need to do something to make my life better." So she decides to try and ask the new king, Edward, for help. This is where my second fun fact about Elizabeth Woodville comes in, and it's simply that she was really, really beautiful. Now, the portraits of her, there aren't that many, and by our modern standards, maybe we wouldn't think she was drop-dead gorgeous, but for that time period, standards of beauty, she was the ideal. She was fair-skinned, fair-haired, she was just gorgeous, and that was just the ideal of beauty in England during this time period. And Elizabeth Woodville just had that look, and everybody thought she was gorgeous. Even her enemies, they were like, oh, we hate her, but she's really pretty. And you can kind of see where this is going. Her plan initially is just to go on a picnic with her two sons, where she knows that King Edward will be passing through with his men. And she's just going to stop him and ask for help. Just give me my lands, give me my money, just help me get what's owed to me. She meets him and he's like, whoa, this girl is gorgeous. And he's also, you know, the king. He's got a bit of an ego and he thinks he can get pretty much any woman that he lays his eyes on. So he's like, oh my God, you're so pretty. I really like you. And she's like, okay, cool. But like, I need the land. I need the money. Like, I'm not trying to be a mistress. I need, you know, a life for myself and my sons. They did have this immediate connection, and it is very fairy tale like. Because, next fun fact about Elizabeth Woodville is that she was not royal or a noble. She was, in the time period's terms, a common lady. She came from some nobility in her lineage, but she was not considered a very good match for the king. That is kind of why they get that fairy tale romance reputation, because it is a bit like a fairy tale. Now, I think part of it was Edward being like, oh my God, she's so pretty and I'm the king and like, come on, that's all he needs. But Elizabeth Woodville was not about that. She was not going to be his mistress. She needed a life for herself. And she definitely rejected him at the beginning. There's a story that they ended up meeting and she pulled a knife on him when he tried to get with her. And he was probably a little bit into that in a way. He had never been told no. And so having this woman be like, no, I'm not going to be your mistress. I'm not going to sleep with you. I have standards. I want a life for myself. And it does not involve being your mistress. Edward was probably kind of into that and respected that to an extent. So I think there is a fairy tale romance aspect to this for sure. But there was also some other time period things going on where she was like, I'm not going to be your mistress. And Edward was like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to have to marry her. And they end up getting married in secret. A lot of historians look at this situation and think Elizabeth Woodville probably had her eye on the crown at some point during this whole exchange. And there's probably some truth to that. If the king is suddenly enamored by you and just, you know, professing his love to you, you're gonna think about maybe becoming the queen. She definitely knew what she was doing, but I don't think that means she didn't love him. And I don't think she was tricking him either, because there's definitely some ride or die Edward fealty that Elizabeth has later on. She, you know, is very loyal to House York, and she's nicknamed the White Queen after the White Rose of the House of York. Any sort of imagery of the red and the white symbolizes the two different houses. So the next fun fact about Elizabeth Woodville, kind of going back to her lineage, as I said, she was considered a commoner of that time period, but the other really crazy thing about her lineage is her and the maternal line of her bloodline said that they were descended from a water goddess, more specifically a river goddess. And this is something that is dropped in the miniseries The White Queen, which is of course named after Elizabeth Woodville. I'm probably going to mention it a couple times in this episode because it's a really great miniseries. It's not always the most factual, but it's definitely something I recommend watching if you're into this at all. In the miniseries, they mention this a couple times, and this was something that completely went over my head the first time I watched it. I just didn't pay attention to that detail. And then as I was doing my research into her, I saw it in print and on another podcast and a couple different videos that Elizabeth Woodville and her mother, Jacquetta of Luxembourg, are descended from Melusina, a river goddess, like a literal river goddess. They claim they are descended from her. And it's not kind of just like an ancient legend sort of thing. I Googled it and it actually has it as their descendant, like it, their ancestral line goes to a goddess. This isn't to say that this goddess is real or, you know, this is fact, but this is something that people genuinely believed, and it's in the records of their ancestral line. So if you Google Melusina, which I did, it's quite interesting, and there's a lot of folklore around her. This is something people genuinely believed back then. She is also related to the modern, current British monarchy. So Queen Elizabeth II technically is possibly descendant from a river goddess. I played that little Wikipedia game just to fact check this, where you click through and you keep clicking through until you get from one page to another. And I got from Elizabeth Woodville's page, went through her ancestors, and I got to Elizabeth II. So they are related, and I could go through their ancestral tree, but that might take a while. Circling back to the story now, she and Edward got married in secret, and this was a big no-no, mostly because she was just not a popular choice for queen. She was a commoner, and she had essentially switched sides at this point. But they get married, and eventually she is taken to court, and her whole family comes with her. And everybody at court is just as judgmental as you would think they would be. Think like high school, and the new girl comes to town, and it's just not popular. So everybody at court kind of is not nice to Elizabeth Woodville. And I want to say she probably did try to make friends, and then eventually was just like, okay, I don't care. I'm queen. Bow down. Stop being mean to me. This is the part of the story where I'm going to try not to get too muddled down into details because there's a lot of people at court. Here's where my advice is to watch the miniseries The White Queen if you want more of the court intrigue and drama that was going on. But we're going to focus on one character for right now, and that is the Kingmaker. That's his nickname. He's the Earl of Warwick, and he is a cousin to Edward and Edward's two brothers, who will come into the story, so I'll name them now. We have George and Richard. They are the brothers of Edward, making them Elizabeth Woodville's brother-in-laws. They'll come into the story a little bit later. But for now, we will focus on the Kingmaker, who was BFFs with the king, was his like most loyal advisor. He loved him. They were cousins. And then Elizabeth Woodville comes in, and the Kingmaker, he got that nickname because he made Edward king, basically, and he was renowned for this. But he did not like Elizabeth Woodville. He wanted to be a queenmaker, and he had someone else in mind, and her name was not Elizabeth Woodville. The Kingmaker is like, I hate you and I'm gonna get rid of you. And so he starts plotting, and plot number one, he decides to go to the king that Edward got rid of, the Lancaster king, who was named Henry. Edward didn't kill him. He actually just ended up exiling him, basically. And his wife, who was a queen, of course, no longer queen, but her name was Margaret of Anjou. And they had a son who was also named Edward. But all you really need to know is this is the exiled Lancaster family that were previously the royal family. But Edward was like, bye, and they left. But Kingmaker is like, you know what? Actually, maybe I'm going to go be with them and side with them. And so that is what he does. And this backfires on him because nobody really supports them or him. Edward, long story short, has the support. There are some battles. Edward gets captured at one point. Elizabeth Woodville is obviously freaking out. She goes into sanctuary. All of these details aren't super important, but for the sake of just making the story a little bit more concise, Edward comes out on top of this scandal. Now, the Kingmaker also tries to get George on the throne. So Edward's brother, George, turns on him. And George is like, you know what? That throne is looking really good. And I also don't like Elizabeth Woodville. So let's team up and let's overthrow my brother. And this backfires, of course. All of these plots against Edward just don't work out. He has the bigger army, ultimately. He wins the battles, and the people like Edward, and they like Elizabeth Woodville. It's the nobles that don't really like her. It's the people at court who are being snooty. They're the ones that don't like her. The Kingmaker, he tries to rebel twice, and Edward only has so much forgiveness in his bones. Additionally, when the Kingmaker rebels, he ends up executing Elizabeth Woodville's father and one of her brothers. And so Elizabeth Woodville is like seeing red at this point. She is like, I hate him. I want him dead. And the first time Edward's like, I know, but like, I kind of love him still. Let's forgive him. The second time he tries to rebel, Edward is like, no bueno, you have to be executed. And he isn't actually executed. He dies on the battlefield, I believe, but he does die. And Edward is like, all right, that's that. And you'd think that things would just kind of be peaceful at this point. However, not so much, because George is still around and he's still got his eye on that throne. So George's wife, Isabel, who was actually the Kingmaker's daughter, she ends up dying, and historians believe at this point that she died from either childbirth fever or consumption, I believe, but she died from disease, most likely. However, George, who was a bit mentally unstable at this point, he was convinced that she was poisoned and murdered. In The White Queen, he blames Elizabeth Woodville. In historical records, he ends up blaming one of her ladies and has her executed. And it's seen as just really bad because she probably did not poison Isabel. And Edward was like, this isn't good. Additionally, George then immediately tried to marry someone else, a duchess from a place called Burgundy, and it kind of came out that he was trying to assemble an army to overthrow Edward again. And so Edward was like, ugh, this is so bad. Like, I'm so tired of my family rebelling against me. And the thing is, Edward kept forgiving them again and again and again, but he'd had enough at this point. And he was like, all right, George, we're done. You need to be executed. And George was executed. He did not die on a battlefield. His execution is very famous because it's very strange. So buckle in for this one, because this is one of the weirdest things in this entire story that honestly, like, you can't make this up. So he lets him choose the form of execution for his death. And this may not seem like that much of a gift, but considering the ways that you could be executed during this time period, you know, it would be nice to choose which one you were going to get. George chooses to be executed by being drowned in a vat of wine. Not just any wine, Malmsey wine. The reason he chose to be drowned in Malmsey wine specifically is because it was Elizabeth Woodville's favorite wine. And the story goes that Edward had just brought back a bunch of Malmsey wine for her. Basically, George was going to be using most of it, if not all of it, for his execution. Not only was he possibly depriving her of her favorite wine, but regardless if that story is true or not, he chose her favorite wine to be drowned in as his execution. That's definitely a dig at Elizabeth Woodville. So George dies in his vat of Malmsey wine, and this brings some peace into Elizabeth Woodville's life. There isn't a lot that happens for a while in her life, except that she has a lot of children. Her and Edward had 10 children in total, but only 3 of them are really relevant to the story that we're going to tell today. And that is her 2 sons, Edward and Richard. We're going to call them Prince Edward and Prince Richard, so you don't get them confused with King Edward, her husband, and her brother-in-law named Richard, who we're going to talk about next. But she had a daughter named also Elizabeth, and we're going to call her Elizabeth of York. So Elizabeth Woodville and then her daughter, Elizabeth of York, who is another queen that I probably will talk about at some point. But unfortunately, fast forward a bit in time and King Edward dies. Not only is it heartbreaking because she's just lost her husband, who she definitely loved very much, but all of her power at court relies on King Edward. Without him, she's no longer queen because she was what was known as a queen consort. She was only queen because she was married to the king. And as we established earlier, she wasn't that popular. She had a lot of enemies at court. Now, in other stories, after the king dies, it's okay because the son, the heir to the throne, becomes king. But Prince Edward, the heir to the throne, he was way too young to be ruling an entire kingdom on his own. And before King Edward died, he decided to name the Lord Protector. The Lord Protector basically helps rule the kingdom for the child king until he's old enough to make decisions and rule on his own. Edward, who seems to have this undying trust in his family, no matter how many times they betray him, he's like, you know what? I'm gonna trust Richard and I'm not gonna listen to my wife again. And I'm just gonna be like, yep, Richard is the Lord Protector. And Elizabeth Woodville is like, oh, please don't do this, please don't do this. And he does it anyway. And so he dies, and Richard III is Lord Protector. I'm gonna try and tell this next part of the story as unbiasedly as I can. Richard is a very controversial figure. You either see him as someone who's deeply misunderstood and innocent, or you see him as the ultimate villain. We are moving into the Princes in the Tower story now. This is where it gets a little confusing. No one really knows exactly who was the villain here, what exactly was going on. The White Queen miniseries paints one version of the story. Shakespeare paints a completely different version of the story. Now, I'm not going to be too biased here, at least I'm going to try not to be, but I will preface this by saying that I am not the biggest Richard fan. However, there are a few other people that I need to introduce first before we get more into this story. Way back at the beginning of this episode, we talked about the Wars of Roses. Now, we haven't really talked much more about them because so far throughout this story, the Yorks have had a pretty strong hand on the throne. They've been sitting pretty. Everything's been great. We had the Kingmaker try to bring the Lancasters back at one point, but for the most part, the Yorks have really been fine this time. However, the Lancasters were not decimated. There is one Lancaster, or rather a small group of them, that are still around. And there are three characters I want to introduce you to, but they're like a team, so you can just associate them with each other. So first up, we have Margaret Beaufort. Margaret Beaufort is an interesting lady. She was kind of scary from the stories I've heard. I would not have wanted her as my mother-in-law, but she is the mother of a boy named Henry Tudor. However, he grew up in exile, and for most of his life, he grew up away from his mother, Margaret Beaufort. He grew up in the care for most of his life of Jasper Tudor. Him and Margaret Beaufort were kind of in love with each other, possibly, but he's not Henry's father. He's Henry's uncle. Henry is named Henry Tudor. Now, really all you need to know is that we've got Jasper, Henry, and Margaret. They are Team Lancaster. Those are the two sides of the Princes in the Tower story, or in other words, are two possible culprits of who are the villains in the story. On one side, we've got Uncle Richard, and then on the other side, we have Team Lancaster. Back to Elizabeth Woodville, we have her son, Edward, Prince Edward, who is supposed to be crowned king. And we've got his uncle Richard as the Lord Protector. What Richard does is he puts Prince Edward in the Tower of London. Putting him in the Tower of London is not really the place you want to be put when you are a person living in England during this time period. He does this under the guise of, hey, we are getting ready for your coronation, and the Tower of London is the safest place for you. Okay, like, I mean, it's not that sus at the beginning because this is something that is true. The Tower of London is a safe place to be if, you know, you're being protected there. And it's also where some future kings and queens would go before their coronation. So this was kind of weird, but also like, okay, maybe he is looking out for his nephew. However, among all of this happening, Elizabeth Woodville's brother, Anthony, the one that she wanted to be Lord Protector, and one of her first sons from her first marriage get killed by Richard's men. And so Elizabeth is like, oh no, this is bad. And so she can't get to her son. So she goes into sanctuary again. She's done this multiple times. Every time, you know, stuff starts going bad, she goes into sanctuary. Sanctuary is basically when someone would go to a church and they would say that they were going there for sanctuary, and basically nobody could hurt them while they were there because it was seen as a place of God. Now, this does get broken at times. Her husband, King Edward, actually broke sanctuary to kill people at one point. And so sanctuary wasn't necessarily respected as much as it had been before. And that was her husband's fault. Uncle Richard, Lord Protector, he goes and he tells people to go to Elizabeth Woodville and tell her that he wants her other son now, little Prince Richard. He tells her that Edward, Prince Edward, is in the tower. He's lonely. He wants his brother to help him get ready for his coronation. And this is the part that gets a little weird in history. Elizabeth gives him her other son. She gives him little Prince Richard. And this is where historians get a little confused of whether Elizabeth Woodville trusted Richard or not. Because if she trusted him and she gave him her son, then it makes him look pretty innocent here. Like, why would she give him her son if she was thinking that he was a villain in this story? However, she was also probably being bullied to some extent, so I don't think this necessarily clears his name, because she also was staying in sanctuary. If she thought she was that safe, she would have left sanctuary and just gone to court where Richard was Lord Protector, and everything would have been fine. But it's really unclear what exactly was going on in her head at this time. And then we have the alternate version of what could have been happening here, and that's what's depicted in the White Queen miniseries. They depict this entire debacle basically being orchestrated by Team Lancaster, that Richard actually isn't the villain here, and Elizabeth Woodville is being manipulated, Richard is also being manipulated, and they are being turned against each other, which does make sense. You can make that argument pretty well because the Lancasters want the throne. And if they turn the last two Yorks against each other, Elizabeth Woodville and Lord Protector Richard, if they're fighting each other, then the Lancasters can kind of just slip on in there and get on the throne eventually. The two boys are in the Tower of London, and this is why the story is known as the Princes in the Tower, because we have the two little baby princes in the tower. Now, they aren't actually babies, I'm just calling them that because I feel really bad for them. Also in the White Queen series, they pose this theory that Elizabeth Woodville actually didn't give up Prince Richard, that she had a peasant boy disguise himself as Prince Richard and sent him to the tower. And then the real Prince Richard was taken off to go be in hiding. This theory definitely originates from the stories of these men coming forward later on and claiming to be the long-lost Prince Richard. So there were rumors that one of them had escaped, and people believed this later on because it was such a mystery. Nobody knew exactly what had happened to them. The idea that one of their beloved princes had escaped and had come back later on was something that a lot of them wanted to believe. This is kind of like if you've ever heard of the Anastasia story, the Romanov family. It's a little similar to that, where we have these people coming later on claiming that they are this long-lost royal person, and because nobody actually knows what happened to the royal people at that time, they believe it. So nobody knew what happened to the Romanovs at the time, and nobody knew what happened to these princes at the time, and still today, nobody knows exactly what happened to them, other than that they were murdered. The two theories of who had them killed are pretty obvious. It's either their uncle, Lord Protector Richard, who, by the way, has now become King Richard III. I feel like I skipped over that. So when Edward and Richard are taken to the Tower of London, that is when Richard III decides, you know what? I'm gonna be king now. And how he does this is actually not that hard. He basically just says that Elizabeth Woodville and King Edward's marriage was not real, that King Edward was already legally, contractually engaged to another woman. And so Elizabeth Woodville basically was just not his real wife, which means all of their children are illegitimate and no longer in line for the throne. Which means that if all of Edward's children cannot go to the throne, then Edward's last remaining brother, Richard, takes the throne. He also threw in a witchcraft accusation, which, you know, that's how the time period worked. If you're a woman, they don't like you, you're going to be accused of witchcraft. So all of that takes place, and Richard III's like, I'm king now, and Elizabeth Woodville is like, oh my god, my life, Edward, why did you do this to me? The princes are dead, Richard becomes King Richard III, and Elizabeth Woodville actually leaves Sanctuary eventually. She has her daughter, Elizabeth of York, join Richard's court. And I actually want to do an episode on Elizabeth of York at some point, so I won't get too much into her story. She and Richard, in the miniseries, they like fall in love with each other and their uncle and niece. It's really, really weird. In actual historical records, Richard supposedly was considering a marriage to her because his wife, Anne, she died, and he was like, I need another wife. My niece is kind of cute. No, just kidding. I don't really know what he was thinking. He possibly was considering a marriage to her. However, Elizabeth of York was also openly engaged to Henry Tudor. So back to Team Lancaster. Naturally, the other possible culprits to the Princess in the Tower story are Margaret Beaufort and Henry Tudor. Team Lancaster. This can also be made as a pretty good argument because they wanted the throne, and regardless of Richard being in the way, those princes were also in the way. So even if they got rid of Richard, they would have to get rid of the princes too to take the throne. So they took the opportunity, possibly, to get rid of these princes, and that was that. My money's still on Richard, if I'm being honest, but you know. Elizabeth is actually writing to Margaret Beaufort at this point. So again, it's hard to tell what was going on in her head because she seemed to at times trust Richard, but then she was also like getting buddy-buddy with Margaret Beaufort, kind of. Elizabeth is like, ooh, I have a daughter, you have a son, ooh, they both have claims to the throne. And Margaret Beaufort's like, yes, yes. Even though Margaret Beaufort was also kind of like, I hate you, but like, yes. Henry Tudor needed to start a war with Richard, and it's exactly what he does. So very long story short, and if I do an Elizabeth of York episode, I will be able to get much more into this, but they go to war with each other. And it's a very interesting war. There is a battle. It's one of the most famous battles in the Wars of Roses. It's called the Battle of Bosworth. Even though I find war extremely boring, it is really interesting because nobody knew exactly who was going to win this battle, even by looking at the numbers, which, yeah, obviously no one knows who's going to win a battle. But there was Richard's forces against Henry's forces, and then Margaret Beaufort's husband, he was very much famous for playing both sides. And so nobody knew which side he was going to take. And he ends up taking Henry's side, which ultimately makes sense. But in the midst of the battle, both Richard and Henry thought they were going to get this dude to help him. And he ends up taking Henry's side. Henry kills Richard in battle. And the story goes that Richard actually wore his crown into battle. The ego, I can't. He's just, I'm trying not to let my bias show here, but Richard's just, he irks me. But he wears his crown into battle. And what is said in the story is when he is killed, his crown rolls off of his head. And Henry trots on over to the crown, picks it up, and is like, this mine now. And he puts it on his head and he's like, I'm king. Elizabeth Woodville, even though she was, you know, a York queen, she's the White Queen, she switched sides again. And she did this, in my opinion, because I don't think ultimately she did trust Richard. And the enemy of my enemy is my friend. I don't think she necessarily liked Margaret Beaufort and Henry Tudor, but she was like, Richard definitely killed at least one of my children, possibly my other two children, so I am not going to support him. And Elizabeth of York was also looking pretty good in this situation, because if Richard won, he was possibly going to marry her and make her queen, and if Henry won, he was definitely going to marry her and make her queen. And Elizabeth Woodville is like, well, there's one enemy dead, now I got some new enemies to face, kind of. When Henry Tudor wins, he is later crowned as King Henry VII of England, and Elizabeth of York, much later on, is then finally crowned as Queen Elizabeth of England. Now, depending on kind of what you are reading and what stories you believe, I tend to lean towards the stories where Elizabeth Woodville was kind of like, all right, I'm stepping down now, my daughter's queen, that's that. But there are stories in which she was possibly causing trouble, and Henry was like, you need to go to an abbey and be gone. And so she ends up going to an abbey eventually. And I'm just gonna kind of fast forward a bit because she lived a pretty good life. She was given some money. She lived pretty comfortably for the most part. There are probably some details I could get into, but I'm gonna fast forward to her death. She should have, you'd think, be given a pretty big funeral because she was a former queen of England. But her funeral and her burial were really rushed. And this was kind of a mystery to people for a while. They were like, that is really weird. Supposedly she had requested to have a really, you know, private, small, short funeral and just get the burial done quickly. And this is apparently what she had wanted. However, recently there was a letter that was found in the National Archives that gives hints that possibly she had died of plague. Now, the weird thing about the letter is it dates years after her death. And it's this Venetian ambassador talking about how the king is disturbed that the Queen Elizabeth has died of plague. And they refer to this queen as being the mother of King Edward. So by contextual clues, people have come to the assumption that it's about Elizabeth Woodville because she was the mother of Prince Edward, who was supposed to be King Edward. And some people actually referred to him as King Edward, even though he was never officially crowned. It really only makes sense for Elizabeth Woodville to be the person he's talking about. So some people now believe that she died from plague and that that is why she was buried so quickly, because obviously if you die from plague, they don't want it to spread. She was buried beside King Edward and they are buried at the chapel at Windsor Castle. I've actually seen their graves. I got a little like fangirl moment when I saw their graves. It's nothing really spectacular. It's just, you know, this kind of slab on the ground. If you follow or have seen the Instagram for this podcast at Tea on History, I posted a picture of their grave in the photo set where I announced Elizabeth Woodville would be my subject for the first episode. Pretty sure that picture is illegal. I have no other pictures inside that chapel, and I'm pretty sure I had to sneak that picture. But yeah, if you want to see that, it's up on the Instagram page. Anyway, that is Elizabeth Woodville. She had a dramatic, scandalous life, yet she managed to live pretty long for the time period. And she was not beheaded, which is quite a feat when it comes to some of these queens in history. Her legacy is pretty great. Like I said, she is related to the current British monarchy. And so she is one of my favorite historical figures because I think she faced a lot of adversity in her life and a lot of tragedy. She lost a lot of people in her life, yet she persevered. And I just think she's a really inspiring figure. So cheers to Elizabeth Woodville. I already have a really long list of people I want to do episodes on, but if you think of anybody or you want to hear an episode about someone, if they're on the list, I will bump them to the top or I will add them to the list. Until next time, pour one out for Queen Elizabeth Woodville.